All right, good evening, everyone. So, first of all, our shiur tonight, a little bit different than what we normally do, although we normally devote this particular segment to the Parshas HaShavua, being that today we just had the privilege to celebrate Yom Yerushalayim, which we'll discuss in a little bit more depth. Tonight we're going to devote our shiur to understanding and appreciating the beautiful gift of Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. The shiur tonight is sponsored by Rita Bayek and family in memory of Chaim Tzvi Ben Reb Eliezer, Mr. Harry Bayek, whose yahrzeit is being observed today, sponsored by Esther Sol. Where's Leah? By Leah Sol. Leah Sol, in memory of the yahrzeit of her mother, Marguerite Streiten. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah and Shem will have an aliyah. And also, of course, our shir is dedicated in the zechus of a refuah shleima for Mel Pacino, for Moshe Ben Sion Ben Leah Rachel, and we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, HaKadosh Baruch will allow him to have a lasting and enduring refuah.
Amen.
We begin with number one. So what I'd like to try to do today is, you know, when thinking about the beauty and the specialness of Yerushalayim, so the truth is it doesn't really have to be explained. If one has ever had the zchus to go ahead and step foot in Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, so one knows that just simply walking into the city, you know, I often say that in today's modern state of Israel, as you're driving down Kvish Echad, as you're driving down Route 1 into Yerushalayim, and there should be chairs. Are there not chairs? Okay. Somebody's getting them? Good. There are also chairs up here, if anyone needs. Okay. So when you drive in and you see that, you know, big sign that says Bruchim Haba'im Yerushalayim, and you realize that for thousands of years, Jews could only go ahead and dream about this. And now we live in a day and age where really the only thing that separates us from Eretz Yisrael is just the price of airfare, which is sometimes a little bit exorbitant. But what an amazing time to live in. That the only thing keeping us from our beloved land is nothing to do with external quotas, no type of other secular governments, but rather, again, it's price, it's money, and what an incredible generation to live in. So I'd like to spend a little bit of time tonight to really focus on an interesting aspect of Yerushalayim. Take a look at number one. So this is from a fascinating sefer titled Toras HaMedina. Toras HaMedina was written by Rav Shlomo Goren. Rav Goren was the first chief rabbi of the IDF, of the Israel Defense Forces, and also later on goes on to become the chief rabbi of the State of Israel. Rav Goren, of course, was, you know, there's the famous picture of the gentleman in an army uniform with a long beard blowing the shofar by the kotel. That was Rav Goren. Rav Goren charged into the city with the tzanchanim, with the paratroopers, who themselves, they urged him. They said to the rabbi, stay back, let us conquer the city, and then let us take it over, and then you'll come in afterwards. Rav Goren insisted on literally going right with the soldiers. It was a very busy day for Rav Goren, because after the soldiers took back the kotel, took back the Ir HaAtikah, the old city of Yerushalayim, they then went on to Hebron. So amazingly enough, they could not spare the manpower to go ahead and go and take back Hebron. Rav Goren went himself to Hebron. He got in a jeep, he went to Hebron, and there was such an incredible fear of the Jewish army on that day that literally, if this is not the legend, this is true, they handed over, they surrendered. The Arabs surrendered the city of Hebron to Rav Goren. Literally to Rav Goren. Right? The Shlomo himself wasn't. They surrendered Hebron to Rav Goren. Rav Goren occupied a very special role, a very pivotal role, at a very pivotal time for the state of Israel as well. So Rav Goren has a book that's called Toras HaMedina. in which in this sefer he discusses all of the very interesting issues that come up regarding the interface between Judaism, Halacha, and a state of Israel. One of the major issues Rav Goren deals with is that, remember, Judaism, the state of Israel, is a democracy. Judaism doesn't really believe in democracy. Now, this is quite startling to Jews because we are a people where everybody's opinion matters, right? And everybody has something to say, and everybody has mamish the correct answer. So Judaism actually does not believe in democracy. Judaism doesn't believe that everybody's opinion counts. Judaism doesn't, it's not really even all that interested in hearing what everybody has to say or has to think. Judaism is a theocracy. It believes in a theocracy, which means, or perhaps a monarchical theocracy, if we have a king, but nevertheless, society is governed by Torah. Everything is governed by religion. There is no such thing as separation of church and state. Religion governs, and religion informs every single aspect of our existence. So one of the interesting things Rav Goren deals with is, well, how do you reconcile a democratic state of Israel with the tenets of Halacha, tenets of Torah? See, he discusses this quite extensively throughout his sefer, but he happens to have an entire essay devoted to the centrality of Yerushalayim within Judaic thought. Take a look at number one. Binyan Yerushalayim v'lo binyan beis hamikdash mofia b'ksuvim. So the first thing he starts is with a fascinating thesis statement, which is that if you look throughout our text, there is a constant focus on the rebuilding of Jerusalem. And the truth is, there's not that much of a focus on the rebuilding of the temple, the Beis HaMikdash. Bematbeah habrachos, b'tfilo shetiknu ad shekinesis hagedola, v'chein b'mekoros halacha. So the truth is, if you look at prayer, even if you look ultimately at Torah text, and you look at the brachos that Chazal made, there is an incredible focus on Yerushalayim itself. B'talmud, b'midrashim, kimevata es hagula hashlishis. And what Yerushalayim symbolizes, or the rebuilding of Yerushalayim symbolizes, is what? Is the geula's ultimate redemption. Kemo shematzinu b'nusach tfilas yurches, shektiknua anche kineses hagedola. So listen to this. And Rav Goren brings out a fascinating idea. If you skip to number two for just a moment. Every single day, three times a day, or during the weekdays, three times a day, we recite a particular bracha. V'lushalayim ircha berachamim toshuv, and to Jerusalem, your city, may you return in compassion. V'tishkon v'sishkon besocha kasher dibarta. Rest within it as you have spoken. Uvne osa bikara b'yameinu binyan olam. May you rebuild it soon in our days as an eternal structure. V'chisei David meira socha l'smehera l'socha tochin, and return the throne of David into the city. Baruch atah Hashem bonei Yerushalayim. Blessed are you, God, or God, you are the source of all blessing, builder of Jerusalem. Now, it's interesting. What don't we ask for? The temple, the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the truth is, in all fairness, we do that a little bit later in Shmona Esrei, in the bracha of Ritzei. But even then, what we're asking for is a return of sacrificial service. We say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring back the karbanos. But what Rav Goren points out is it's fascinating. We don't daven for the Beis HaMikdash. Instead, what we daven for is Yerushalayim. Now, the simple answer is, right, is that when you daven for Yerushalayim, so part of what you're davening for is what? Is rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, that's possible. But it is intriguing when you begin to think about it, that here we are always so focused on Bayis Shlishi, and yet in our liturgy, in our tfilos, we don't ask for the Beis HaMikdash, but instead we ask for Jerusalem. Similarly, if you take a look at number three, I apologize for the typo here. It's supposed to read Tfilas Nachem, Mincha Tes Ba'ab. Actually, interesting, there's a lot of fascinating halachic literature that came up in the aftermath of the Six-Day War in 1967. One of the things that came up when we recaptured Yerushalayim was whether or not we should still continue to recite this particular prayer. So in number three, this is the insertion we make by Mincha on Tisha B'Av, on the 9th of Av. We say, Nachim Hashem Elokeinu es Eveli Tzion ve'es Eveli Yerushalayim. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to console us for the loss of Jerusalem, es ha'ir ha'avela, ha'chareva, ha'bezuya, v'ha'shomema. So we say Yerushalayim is the city that's in Avelos, it's destroyed, it's plundered, it's desolate. So if we say ha'avela mibli ba'neha, it's bereft of its children, chareva moroseh, no longer has its castles, bezuya michvoda, is ultimately degraded from its covet. So interestingly enough, in the aftermath of 1967, many suggested that we should no longer recite this paragraph. Why? Why? It's not true. At least they said it's not true. We have Yerushalayim Baruch Hashem. It's no longer bereft of its children. Its children, the children live there. So it's interesting. There are many different answers that were given. Rav Soloveitchik writes. Rav Soloveitchik says that as wonderful as Yerushalayim is now, it doesn't hold a candle to what Yerushalayim was and what Yerushalayim will be when Mashiach comes. Now it's incredible because considering what we've gone through the last 2,000 years, that we have a city at all is magnificent. But to say that it's no longer Shomema, Bezuya, Chareva, says Rav, is not true. We have to keep in mind that as wonderful as it is what we have now, it's not, it's a fraction of what was during the Bayis Sheni and a fraction of what will be Emir Tzashem during the Third Temple. But why am I bringing this down for you? Because look how Nachem ends in number 3. Baruch Ato Hashem, Menachem Tzion, Uvone Yerushalayim. So how do we end the bracha? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who consoles Zion, consoles Tzion, and rebuilds Yerushalayim. Now, why is this intriguing? What do we mourn on Tisha B'Av? The destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And how fascinating it is that on the day that we mourn the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, in the bracha of Nachem, we don't make mention about the Beis HaMikdash, but instead, when we engage in our supplicative plea, we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Menachem Tzion, Bonei Yerushalayim. Again, the focus, not just on the Mikdash, but the focus rather on Yerushalayim as a city. Take a look at number 4. Amar of Nachman, Moshe Tikein Yisrael Birkas Hazan, B'Sha Shiar Lahem Aman. So here the Gemara Maseches Brachos talks about that the structure of Birkas HaMazon, of benching as we have it today, is really a composite of a number of different pieces that were added throughout history. So for example, the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who instituted the first bracha of Birkas HaMazon, Hazon HaSakol, B'Sha Sheyarad Lahem Man. When the man came down for us in the desert, the divine bread, Moshe Rabbeinu was inspired to codify this bracha that ended Hazon. What does Hazon mean? Right? The sustainer, the one who sustains all living things. So Moshe Rabbeinu sees with his own eyes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is literally sustaining Klal Yisrael with the man. He's inspired to create this bracha. Next, the Gemara goes on. Yoshua taking lahem birchas sa'aretz, kevan shenichnusu la'aretz. Next, when we enter into Eretz Yisrael, Yoshua institutes the second bracha, no delecha, right, that ends off with what? Al ha'aretz, the Alam Mazon. Yoshua leads us into Eretz Yisrael, leads the initial conquest of Eretz Yisrael. Afterwards, Yoshua adds in the bracha of thanking God for the land. Then he goes on, David and Shlomo, tiknu bonei Yerushalayim. David and Shlomo, father-son team, institute the third bracha, bonei Yerushalayim. David tikein al Yisrael hamecha ve'al Yerushalayim irecha. So David HaMelech instituted the parts of the bracha about Klal Yisrael, about Yerushalayim. Ushlomo tikein al Abayis hagodol v'hakadosh. And Shlomo HaMelech added in the pieces about Yerushalayim. Good. Look at number 5. Now the Gemara is going to focus on that last bracha. Tanur Rabbanon, Malchosim, in this third bracha, this bracha instituted by Shlomo and David, what is the concluding bracha? How do we end that bracha? Malchosim, Bebinyon Yerushalayim. We ended off with the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda Omer, Moshe Yisrael. Rabbi Yossi Rehuda says, no, you should end off Baruch Ato Hashem, Moshe Yisrael, Savior of the Jewish people. Moshe Yisrael in Binyan Yerushalayim lo, Ela Eima Af Moshe Yisrael. Okay, skip to number 6, and then we're going to bring this all together. Rav Nachman says, no. Afilu Pasach Berachim Al Yisrael. Now remember, I'll tell you something important when it comes to brachos. You could have something called the Bracha Arichta. So Bracha Arichta means a long bracha, which very often could sometimes begin with a bracha, end with a bracha, or for that matter, it could begin without a bracha, but it has a concluding bracha. Now, Brachos 101 is that the chasima, the ending bracha of a protracted, of an elongated bracha, must always what? Must always be Me'ein HaBracha. It has to somehow capture the theme of the bracha in its entirety. So for example, the first bracha of Birkas HaMazon discusses the fact that God sustains us, and therefore how does it end? Baruch Ato Hashem, Hazon HaSakol. Right? Again, the second bracha seeks out giving us Eretz Yisrael. How does it end? Al Ha'aretz, the Al HaMazon. What does the third bracha speak about? What does it speak about? No, don't say Yerushalayim, that's not fair. Right? What does it talk about? Rachem no. Rachem no. What does it ask? Compassion. It's compassion. Compassion for who?
For us.
For us. Right? We actually ask for compassion for a number of things. But the first thing we ask compassion for is Yisrael Amecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have compassion on us. Now, the entire bracha is about compassion. So you would expect that then when you are concluding the bracha, how should it conclude? Baruch Ata Hashem, something to do with compassion. Right? That's not an exact quote, but you get the point. Right? Baruch Ata Hashem, something to do with compassion, because again, that captures the essence of the bracha. But yet, how does it end? Take a look at number six. Avra Nachman Amar, Afilu Pasach Berachim Al Yisrael. Even though the bracha opens with asking compassion for the Jewish people, Chosem Bebonei Yerushalayim. How does the bracha end? Baruch Ata Hashem, Bonei Berachamav Yerushalayim Amen. What's going on over here? That suffix, that ending bracha, has nothing to do with the major theme of the bracha that precedes it. The essence of the bracha is compassion for the Jewish people. End the bracha with something that captures that theme. Why are you now jumping ship from compassion on the Jewish people to ultimately rebuilding Yerushalayim? So Rav Nachman gives an interesting answer. He says, Mishum Shenemar, he quotes the pasuk from Tehillim, Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem Nitche Yisrael Yechanes, literally translated, God rebuilds Jerusalem, and he will gather Nitche Yisrael, he will gather the dispersed of the Jewish people. A Mosai Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem, when will God rebuild Jerusalem? Bizman Shenitche Yisrael Yechanes, at the time when the dispersion of the Jewish people will be brought closer together. What does that mean? Take a look at number seven. Rashi writes, V'Rav Nachman, Bonei Yerushalayim Teshuas Yisrael Hi. The rebuilding of Yerushalayim is in and of itself the salvation of the Jewish people. D'chsiv, Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem, V'Az Nitche Yisrael Yichanes. So Rashi has a very interesting reading of this Gemara. The way Rashi understands the Pasuk of Tehillim is almost like it's a cause and effect. When Yerushalayim is rebuilt, then what? Then what? Then the dispersed of the Jewish people will be gathered. So interestingly enough, so it's a little bit different than the Gemara. Because the way the Gemara reads it is, yes, as a cause and effect, but in the reverse. When will Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem, when will Yerushalayim be rebuilt? Nitche Yisrael Yechanes, when the Jews come back. That's a very logical statement. When the Jews come back to Yerushalayim, that's when Yerushalayim will be rebuilt. Rashi says, no, you have to read it differently. When will the Jewish people be brought back? When what? When Yerushalayim is rebuilt. So here, in Rashi's approach, the rebuilding of Yerushalayim comes before the cohesiveness of the people. In the Gemara, the people come to Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim is rebuilt. According to Rashi, Bonei Yerushalayim, God will rebuild Jerusalem, and then Va'az Nitche Yisrael Yechanes. Then the dispersed Jewish people will gather. Take a look at number 9. Say number 8. I just quoted for you the bracha of Rachim. You can see over here how this bracha is so strange. Rachim Hashem Elokeinu Al Yisrael Amecha. So really the essence is Rachmanus. So then what happens? We say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rebuild Yerushalayim. True. We're asking to rebuild Yerushalayim with Rachmanus. That is very true. But Yerushalayim is only one word in this entire paragraph. The real essence is divine compassion and mercy. How are we to understand the suffix? So what have we seen so far? So what we've seen clearly through the first number of sources is the centrality, not as much of the Beis HaMikdash, but the centrality of what? The centrality of Yerushalayim in our liturgy. So again, in Shemona Esrei, we don't ask for rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, at least explicitly. We ask again for a return of sacrificial service. But we don't ask for rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. What do we ask for? What do we ask for? Yerushalayim Ircha Barachah Mikdash. We ask for Yerushalayim. Right? We then went on to see on Tisha B'Av, when we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Rachmanos, what do we ask him? We don't ask him for a third Beis HaMikdash. What do we ask him for? We ask him to go ahead and we say, Baruch HaTo Hashem, Menachem Tzion, Ubone Yerushalayim. So on the day itself, when we're mourning the destruction of the temple, we don't ask for the temple. Instead, what we ask for is Jerusalem. In Birkas HaMazon, where every single suffix bracha is supposed to reflect the theme of the previous bracha, so the brachim of Rachim, which begins with a request or supplication for Klal Yisrael, how does it end? Baruch HaTo Hashem, Bonei Berachim of Yerushalayim. So we see again that there's an incredible focus, not on the Beis HaMikdash, but rather again on Yerushalayim as a city. Such a focus that even sometimes when Yerushalayim doesn't seem to be the major theme, even of a particular blessing, it still occupies center stage. And this leads to number 9. Sir Rav Gorin writes, Nimtzanu Lemeidin. It turns out Sheladas Rav Nachman Bonei Yerushalayim Tishuas Yisrael Hu Dechseh Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem Ve'az Nidche Yisrael Yikanes Kilshono Shel Rashi Sham Al Asar. So Rav Gorin quotes the Rashi that we saw in number 7, that Rashi even takes this whole discussion a step further, because Rashi understands that in fact the rebuilding of Yerushalayim is very pivotal. Why? Not just because we all want a united rebuilt Yerushalayim, but the rebuilding of Yerushalayim is important. Why? Because it's only Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem. It's only once Yerushalayim is rebuilt that what? That what? That Nidche Yisrael Yikanes. That the Jewish people ultimately are gathered. Number 10. Hare, so Rav Goren says after going through all of this, Hare kolat tfilos v'habrachos shetiknu anshe kineses hagedola michuvanos lebinyan Yerushalayim v'lo lebinyan beis hamikdash. So we see all of our tfilos, all of our brachos, are focused on the rebuilding of Yerushalayim and not the rebuilding of the beis hamikdash. This is embedded again in the very text of our brachos and our tefilos. Now remember, we know our brachos and our tefilos are not haphazard, but rather, again, they were instituted by the men of the Great Assembly, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, with prophecy. Rav Goren says, we have to reach an undeniable conclusion. What's the conclusion? Shebinyan Yerushalayim miatzeg lichora es hageula hashlishis. That what is the true harbinger? What is the true mark? What is the true metric of the third redemption? What is it? It's the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Which means, says Rav Goren, that the third geula is here when Yerushalayim is rebuilt, even if what? Even if the Beis HaMikdash has not yet been rebuilt. Where does Rav Goren get this from? So it's simple. Even if he doesn't go through all of these sources, the truth is, that's what Rashi himself is saying. Rashi is saying in that Pasuk in Tehillim, Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem, when Yerushalayim is rebuilt, then what? Nidche Yisrael Yichanes. The Jewish people will be gathered. So says Rav Goren, it's a clear indication that the greatest demonstration and sign of the Geula, of the third Geula, is what? Is a rebuilt Yerushalayim. He goes on. Again, we're not trying, God forbid, to leave out the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. The rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash is, of course, part of the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, but amazingly enough, it's more than just the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is one part of that process, but the focus, the real marker of redemption, ultimately is going to be the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Shushla bigulas Yerushalayim, hazoim gulas am hava aretz. So the question that we have to explore tonight is why. You see, to tell me that the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash by itself ultimately is a sign of Geula, I think that we all understand. Because the third Beis HaMikdash is going to be a supernatural structure. I don't mean in the way that it's built, I mean in the miracles that happen therein. So therefore, if there's a third Beis HaMikdash, of course that's a sign of Geula. What Rav Goren is saying is, yes, the third Beis HaMikdash is part of it, but that's not all of it. For Geula to be here, Yerushalayim has to be rebuilt. So the question is, why is the rebuilding of Yerushalayim a sign of Geula, a sign of redemption? What is it about Yerushalayim that somehow, when the city is built up from its ruins, that's a clear indication to us that Geula has arrived? Let's take a look at number 11. So I want to show you something very beautiful. So a pasuk in Tehillim that we're familiar with, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim, Yishlayu Ohavayich. So literally translated, pray for the peace of Yerushalayim, those who love you will be serene. So what does it mean? Take a look at number 12. So Radak writes, what does it mean? Sha'alu, what does it mean to inquire about, to pray for the peace? Actually, we translate here as pray, but Sha'alu really means what? Ask, inquire. Inquire, which by the way, just as an aside, the Gemara happens to use this pasuk as one of the sources for the concept of Zecher L'Churban. Right? How do we know that we're supposed to remember? Meaning, why should we even give Yerushalayim a second thought? Right? We'll worry about it again, or we'll deal with it when Mashiach comes, then we'll have a rebuild. Where is this idea that we remember Yerushalayim, that it's forever etched on our consciousness each and every day? So the Gemara says, Shalom. Because David HaMelech says, ask about it. Ask about it. You have to inquire what's happening in Yerushalayim. But look what the Radak writes. The Radak says so beautifully, Sha'alu, who's supposed to ask? Look what the Radak writes. Omrim, B'nei HaGolos. You know who has to ask about Yerushalayim? Us, the residents of the diaspora. Shalom me'akel yisbarach, shalom Yerushalayim. V'shalom Yerushalayim hu kibbutz ha-golios. So the Radak says that the Pasuk David HaMelech is not talking about inquiring about the welfare of Jerusalem, but rather what David HaMelech is saying is, you residents of us, residents of the diaspora, residents of Golos, Sha'olu Shalom Yerushalayim, ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there should be peace in Yerushalayim. Because what happens if there's peace in Yerushalayim, right? Peace in Yerushalayim is unheard of. So what happens if there's really peace in Yerushalayim? That's a sign of what? Of messianic redemption. Kibbutz Golios. Ki ad osa ha'es lo yihye lashon. Because says Radak, if there's one thing for sure, there will never be peace in the city of Yerushalayim until the Melech HaMashiach comes. Ki nilchamim aleha arelim v'yishma'ilim. We'll discuss this more. Because who's fighting over Yerushalayim? Arelim are who? Right? Arelim are the Christians. And Yishma'ilim are the Muslims. Right? Radak writes, everybody is fighting over Yerushalayim. Va'omer acher kim keneged Yerushalayim yishlalu o'avayich v'heim Yisrael begalus shehem mis'avlim al churbana. So according to the Radak understands that David HaMelech is putting forward a request, or more than just a request, an obligation for diaspora Jewry, that even if we do not yet live in Eretz Yisrael, what's our job? Sha'alu shalom Yerushalayim. We have an obligation to daven each and every day that there should be peace in Yerushalayim, but peace in Yerushalayim only comes about through redemption. So in essence, what we're davening for is redemption, because only when Yerushalayim is at peace, then what? Yishlal o'avayich. Only when Yerushalayim is at peace, are we at peace. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at number 13, and this is going to blow your mind. This Malbim is worth the price of admission. So the Malbim writes the following. He says, Sha'alu, listen to how beautiful this is. Sha'alu, Acher Sheba'er Shirushalayim, Hi Hama'amodas Chibor Hagviya, Haklalis V'achdusa. So what is Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim is like Kiviyachol, the body of Klal Yisrael. Yerushalayim is the body. It's the thing that keeps us all together. It's the essence. It's the gestalt of Klal Yisrael. So now that we know that Yerushalayim is Ha'amodos Chibor Hagviya, it is the part that keeps all the parts of the body together. Omer, listen to this. Kimoshim Tishal L'Shlom Hagviya Ha'ishis. So listen to this. If somebody asks you how you're feeling, well, you know, sometimes when somebody asks you how they're feeling, we of course know they're not really asking you how you're feeling, right? They're just, so, you know, sometimes you ask somebody how they're feeling and say, well, I have to tell you the truth. This hurts and that hurts. So the Malbim says it's interesting. If you ask someone, how are you feeling, right? What's your physical health? What's the state of your physical health? So what happens? Nashivlo sheshloma talui im ha'ivarim v'hakochos shebigvia mikusharim. So if you're asking me if I'm a healthy person, so what does a person's health depend on? It depends on how all of the different parts of the body are interacting with each other. So meaning, I could say, my eyes are wonderful, but my kidneys, chas shalom, are not working so well. Or my feet are great, but my heart is not. So a person is only a perfect picture of health when all of the different parts of the body work together in concert. When the parts individually are healthy, then what? Then what? Then the whole is healthy as well. So listen to what the Malbim says. This is mind-blowing. He says, so too, if you ask a person about their physical health, so in order for me to tell you that I'm healthy, I have to tell you that the different parts of my body are working well. Kein im yishalu l'shlom Yerushalayim. If somebody asks you, how is Yerushalayim doing? What is the state of Yerushalayim? Ne'emar hachuva. So remember, he's dashing the pasuk. Shalu shalom Yerushalayim. Somebody wants to ask you, tell me, what is the state? What is the state of affairs in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh? What's the state of affairs? You know, it's interesting. So obviously, today being Yom Yerushalayim, so they had all these speeches in the Knesset, all these speeches about Yerushalayim. And it's amazing. We're Jews. So what happens? So the first one gets up and says, Yerushalayim is the capital, the eternal capital of Eretz Yisrael. No division. And then the next person gets up and says, no, we have to give the Arabs more nurseries. Right? Because again, there are 110 Jewish nurseries and only 30 Palestinians. So what happens? So says David HaMelech, Shalu Shalom Yerushalayim. You want to say Yerushalayim is doing? It's very simple. He says, Talui In order to know the state of Yerushalayim, you have to know how the various parts that make up Yerushalayim are doing. What are the various parts of Yerushalayim? Each and every Jew is a part of Yerushalayim. So if you want to see what the general health of Yerushalayim is, Yishloyu Ohavayich. Inquire about the welfare of those who love her. Im Ohavi Yerushalayim. If the lovers of Jerusalem, who are the lovers of Jerusalem? That's us. That's us. If the lovers of Jerusalem, Yihyeh Beinehem Shalva Penimis, if the parts of the body, meaning us, get along with each other, if there's peace between us, Bazeh Talui Shalom Yerushalayim. That's what determines the state of Yerushalayim. So the Malbim says so beautifully, what David HaMelech is saying is, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. You want to see how Yerushalayim is doing? You want to know the state of affairs in Yerushalayim? It's don't look at what they're saying in the Knesset. Rather, Yishlalo Ohavayich. What's the state of the various parts of the body? How do we interact with each other? How are the Jews that make up the composite body called Yerushalayim, how are we faring with one another? Yishlalo Ohavayich. If we are in love with one another, if we are serene with one another, if we get along with one another, then what? Then the state of Yerushalayim is perfect, beautiful, pure, and pristine. If there's discord, if there's animosity, if there's fighting, if there's divisiveness, then ultimately Yerushalayim is in a state of disrepair as well. Since the entire essence of Yerushalayim is to bring unity to the people, therefore, if between the different parts of the body, us, breaks out fighting and contention and separation, there is no peace in Yerushalayim. Ki ikr shloma hi im hi, ki ir shechubra la yachtov, lo im yispardu. So look what he says. Vihine yesh hevdel bein shalom u bein shalva. So what's interesting over here is the following. So far the first part of the Malbim tells us that there is a relationship between us and the city of Yerushalayim. If you want to know how Yerushalayim is doing, very simple. What's the state of the Jewish people? But if that's the case, that it's a reciprocal relationship, then why don't you use the same word? David HaMelech uses two words. He says, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. If you want to see the Shalom of Yerushalayim, then what? Yishloyu. Yishloyu comes from the word Shalva, which also we translate as peace, but they're two different words. So says the Malbim, why do you use two different words? Listen to this. So he says, the difference is, Shalom, Shalom hachitzoni. Shalom refers to external peace, or better yet, what shalom ultimately means, one could translate shalom as non-aggression, right? You could be in a state of shalom as long as you're not in a state of war, or you're not in a state of aggression. V'shalva hu ha-shalva ha-penimis. But what's shalva? Shalva is inner tranquility. So it says the Malbim so beautifully. Amar, sha'al yidei shi yisrael yihye lahem shalva penimis. If we have inner tranquility with one another, we love each other, we get along with each other, there's inner shalva, then what? If we have shalva with each other, internal peace with one another, then what? Then that will lead to external peace in Yerushalayim. So what comes out from this Malbim is something amazing, that the Jewish people are linked to the city of Yerushalayim almost in the type of reciprocity. That what happens in Yerushalayim, if you want, so you could look at this in two directions. On one hand, when we have peace within ourselves, then what? Then what happens? There's shalom. When we have shalva, inner tranquility with one another, then there's external peace in Yerushalayim. But something else comes out, which is amazing. So what this also tells you is, if you want to know the state of affairs of the Jewish people, where do you look? Yerushalayim. Whatever you see in Yerushalayim is a mirror of what is happening within greater Klal Yisrael. That is the bond that exists between us and ultimately between this city. Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. You want to see what's happening in Yerushalayim? Yishloi Ohavayich. What's happening with the inner tranquility? How are we getting together with each other? And the converse, if you want to see how we are getting along with each other, then what? Then what? Yes. Then look at what's happening in Yerushalayim. But the question is why? Why? Where does this bond between us and this city come from? How could it be that Yerushalayim is representative of all that's happening in Klal Yisrael? What's the nature of this bond between us and Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh? So take a look at number 15. I want to point out something that's very strange, especially after you see this Malbim. If it's really true, which we're going to accept that it's true, that we are linked by the soul to this city, that the city itself only experiences shalom, which is amazing because in Judaism we have this concept, Yushalayim is earth, it's inanimate. And yet what are we saying? That the inanimate earth of Yerushalayim somehow comes alive because of our dynamic spiritual activity and relationship with one another. So meaning we have the ability to activate peace in Yerushalayim, and similarly, Yerushalayim is the snapshot of where we are holding as a people. So one would think that for a city that is supposed to be representative of who we are, for a city that ultimately represents a snapshot of Klal Yisrael, that you would find multiple references to Yerushalayim throughout the Chumash. Right? Again, if it's a city that's linked to our soul, a city that's representative of us, that we control through our own, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, then one would think the Torah would be replete with references to Yerushalayim. And yet, how many times is Yerushalayim mentioned in the Torah? Zero. Yerushalayim, as that word, is never mentioned once throughout the entire Torah. But we have two references to Yerushalayim. Take a look at number 15. The first one is early on in Bereishis. Umalki tzedek melech shalem, hotzi lechem v'yayin. So this is talking about after the war of the four kings against the five. Avram Avinu goes out to war, rescues Lot, returns the money and the people to Melech Sdom. And what happens? Malki tzedek melech shalem, Malki tzedek, the king of shalem, comes out, hotzi lechem v'yayin v'ukoin lekel al yon. And what happens? He makes a feast for everybody who came back from war. Avram lekel elyon kol yisharetz. Finally, goes on to give a bracha to Avram Avinu that he was so successful. Wonderful. So the question is, where's Shalim? Where is the city Shalim? So take a look at number 16. So the Ebenezer writes, v'shalim hu Yerushalayim. The city of Shalim is Yerushalayim. So the first reference we have in the Chumash is by Malki Tzedek. Malki Tzedek is identified by the Mefarshim as who? As Shem, the son of Noach. So Malki Tzedek becomes king over a place called Shalim, which ultimately is known as Yerushalayim. So we see a veiled reference or a partial reference to Yerushalayim. Where's the second mention? Take a look at number 18. Vayisa Avram. Es Einov. Vayar. First of all, just in number 17, the Ebenezer says very beautifully, why would Yerushalayim be called Shalim? Shalim means complete. Why is it called Shalim? He Yerushalayim ulai nikra akein. Ki shalema kineged shar hashamayim. So amazingly enough, because the Gemara actually talks about this, that Yerushalayim shalmata is mechuvan kineged Yerushalayim shalmala. There is an earthly Jerusalem, a heavenly Jerusalem, and the earthly Jerusalem is straight aligned opposite the celestial Jerusalem. So it's showing it's completely opposite this opening in Shamayim. Okay, second reference, number 18. Vayisa Avram es Einov, Vayar. Avram Avinu lifts up his eyes and he sees, V'hine ayo achar ne'echaz besvach bekarnov. Vayelech Avram vayikach es avale vayaleo liola tachas b'no. So what is this talking about? In the aftermath of the Akedah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told Avram, Al tishlach yad chalanar, don't shecht the child, leave him alone. And then what happens? Avram Avinu looks up and he sees that there is a ram stuck in the thicket, right? It's stuck in the thorn bush. He takes the ram, he slaughters it as a carbon. Vayikra Avram Shema Makomahu Hashem Yireh. Avram called this place Hashem Yireh. God will see. Asher Yi Amer Hayom Bahar Hashem Yireh. The Lord will see, as it is said to this day, on this mountain, the Lord will be seen, or Hashem will see. Take a look at number 19. So what does it mean, Hashem Yireh? What will Hashem see? So Rashi points out, Hashem Yireh, Hashem Yivchar V'yira Loas Hamakom Hazeh LaHashros Shchinoso U'LaHakriv Kan Karbanos. That Avraham Avinu was saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should see fit to rest your Shechina and to establish this place as an eternal place for Karbanos, for sacrificial service. Because remember, where is this happening? Haramoria, the future site of the Beis HaMikdash. So look what the Medrash says in number 20, something amazing. Avraham, Kara oso yireh shene'emar vayikra Avram shema makomahu Hashem yireh. So Avram called the place yireh. Shame, kara oso shalem. Shame earlier called the same place shalem shene'emar umalki tzedek melech shalem. So it says the Medrash HaKadosh Baruch Hu's got a problem. What's the problem? What should I name the place? Shame called it shalem. Avram called it Yireh. So says the Medrash. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Im kora ani oso Yireh, kishem shekara oso Avram, shame Adam Tzadik Misraim. If I just call it Yireh, like Avram Avinu called it, so what's going to happen? Shame's going to get brigus, right? And Shame was a Tzadik. I don't want to get him upset. He did a lot of good work, so I don't want to upset Shame. Vim kora ani oso shalem, Avraham Adam Tzadik Misraim. But if I go ahead and just call it shalem and don't call it Yireh, then what? Then Avraham is going to get upset. Oh, so what am I going to do? Ela hareini kora oso Yerushalayim. What will I call it? I will call it Yerushalayim. So what is Yerushalayim, my friends? Yerushalayim is the contraction. It's the Yireh of Avraham and the Shalem of Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts these two things together. And what? This becomes the identity of the city of Yerushalayim. So what I just want to point out to you before we bring this all together is the order is fascinating, because whose name goes first? Avraham Avinu's name, which is quite fascinating. I guess, I don't know how you would construct it the other way. You know, Shlem Yer, Shlem, all right, whatever, you'll think about it. But assuming there'd be a way, it's interesting that Avraham Avinu's Yireh is put before Malki Tzedek's Shalem. Almost as if to say that although both names are important, there's something about the name that Avraham Avinu gave it that is even more important. So remember, Avraham Avinu names the mountain, the place, Hashem Yireh, the place that God will see. Now, interestingly enough, Avraham Avinu only names it Hashem Yireh when? What did we read in number 18? What does Avraham Avinu do before he names it? What does he do? He gives the carbon, right? Because remember, Avraham Avinu could have named the place right after God tells him, "Atishlach yad chalanar, don't go ahead and don't touch the kid, don't touch your child, don't slaughter him." The Akedah is over. The Akedah is done. Story's over. Avraham Avinu could have named the place right then and there. But instead, he doesn't. When does he name it? Torah tells us this whole strange story that Avraham Avinu sees that there's a ram stuck in the thicket. You'll excuse me. Who cares? Who cares? You want to tell me that Avraham Avinu gave a carbon? That's great. I don't care if the ram was in the thicket or if the ram jumped over the fence or whatever the ram did. It doesn't matter to me. You want to tell me that Avraham Avinu gave a carbon? That's important. Fine. But obviously, if the Torah inserts this story, there was a ram. It was stuck in the thicket. Avraham Avinu saw it. He slaughtered it. And then he names the place. So what does that tell you? There's something about this carbon that is essential to the Akedah story. Take a look at number 21. And this is a beautiful insight. The Lubliner of Rav Meir Shapira of Lublin says an incredible insight. And he writes, Lubliner of writes, Vayar v'hine ayil achar ne'echaz v'svach bekarnov, v'yelech Avram, v'yikachas avayleola, v'yaleola tachas b'no. So Avram Avinu sees the ram is stuck in the thicket, it's stuck by its horns. Avram Avinu gets it, takes the ram, and offers it up instead of his son. L'fiyah medrash, Asa ha-satan kol mini tachbulos kedei lahafriya ula'akev es Avraham shelo ya'aseh ma'aseh ha'akeda. So interestingly enough, the Medrash tells us that Avraham Avinu, as he's going to the Akedah, the Satan, right, this prosecuting angel, tries to put many obstacles in Avraham Avinu's way to get him to turn back. U'kishaloho ilu lo komezimosav halach v'na'aseh lifneim kinar gadol shelo yuchlu la'avar. The final thing the Satan did was what? Was that the Satan made a massive river in front of Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu is getting up to his neck in the water, and the Medrash says, Avraham Avinu looks heavenward and he says, Hoshieni ki ba'u mayim ad nafesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't know what you want me to do. I'm up literally, quite literally up to my neck in water. I want to come do the Akedah, this become impossible. And ultimately the water split for Avraham Avinu. So the Lubliner Rav asks such a fascinating question. Madua Eifo, Lo ola klal al da'ato shel Avram, shema kol iyan ha'ayo hu ma'aseh satan, l'ramosu k'deish lo ya'akov es Yitzchak. So the Lublina Rav asks an amazing question. The Lublina Rav says, why wasn't Avraham Avinu concerned that maybe the isle, maybe the ram, was also one of the tricks of the Satan? Right? Maybe the ram was there to divert Avraham Avinu's attention from slaughtering his son, even though God already said, don't slaughter the child. Maybe the ram was there as a diversion. Right? The Satan had created so many diversions, so many obstacles. Why didn't Avraham Avinu, why wasn't he concerned that the ram was also some type of Satan-like diversion or obstacle? And listen to what the Lublina Rav says. He says, Hoda'as hazos minayim, kinira she'avram hayo batuach, she'hoya hu muktosh la'alos tachas bino, bir oso ne'echaz besvach, mechevan she'ro'ash yesh kan, Tas buchos umatzur, haven sheze minashamaim divar mitzvah. Kimaisa satan hu chad v'chalak. So amazing enough, the Lublina Rav says something so beautiful. The Lublina Rav writes that how did Avraham Avinu know that the isle was not maisa satan, that it was not a diversion or a stumbling block? So the Lublina Rav says, you know what would happen if it was maisa satan? What would have happened? The ram would have run right up next to Avraham Avinu's leg. Right, cuddled up against his leg, or it would have leaped right onto the altar, laid itself down, stretched out its neck. Avraham Avinu shechmi, because when the Maisa Satan happens, the Maisa Satan chait always looks easy. When Avraham Avinu sees that the isle is ne'echaz besvach, when he ultimately sees the struggle, Avraham Avinu knows wherever there is struggle, there is kiddusha. Wherever there is struggle, holiness is never far behind. If the aisle comes out of nowhere and just happens to get tangled in the thicket, now remember, what does that mean? If the ram is tangled in the thicket, that what does that mean for Avraham Avinu? What does that mean? You ever try to get something out of a thicket? I mean, not a ram, but you ever try to get something else out of a thicket, right? What's going to happen? You're going to cut your hands. You're probably going to tear your clothing. It's an avodah. When Avraham Avinu sees the struggle, when he knows that the struggle, Avraham Avinu knows that's not Maisa Satan. Maisa Satan would be if the Satan made it easy for the isle to come here. If I have to struggle, if I have to cut, if I have to bleed, if I have to get hurt, if I have to get torn, that's where I know Kiddusha is not far behind. So what's happening over here? When Avraham Avinu names the place, what is he saying? Hashem Yir'eh. Hashem Yir'eh what? God will see what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see our struggles. Avraham Avinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, you know what I had to go through. I waited 100 years for this child. This child was so much more than just a biological extension of myself. He represented my future. He represented the person who's going to carry on the Abrahamic dynasty. And you wanted me to slaughter him. And the Medrash relates how when Avraham Avinu was going ahead and getting ready to slaughter his son Yitzchak, he's bawling, he's crying. The tears from his eyes are falling into Yitzchak's eyes. He's struggling with it, but he's still willing to do it. And then he has to struggle to get the isle out of the sack, so he's still, Avraham Avinu emerges. Yitzchak emerges whole. Avraham Avinu emerges cut and bleeding. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Yir'eh. Avraham Avinu almost has a premonition that the destiny and the life of his children is going to be filled with incredible, difficult struggle. Hashem Yir'eh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please see our struggles. And see how much we are willing to struggle. See how much we're willing to fight. See how much we're willing to give of ourselves. We're willing to cut. We're willing to bleed for you. Hashem Yir'eh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Always see it. Always see it. See, interestingly enough, this is also the primary identity of Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. If there is one city that has been at the center of struggle, I'm not a historian buff, but I would venture to say that there is no city that has been so engulfed in turmoil than Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. We know just historically, right, all three religions at some point in time have done battle for this city. David HaMelech originally did it from the Yevusi. The Muslims did it against the Christians against the Muslims, the Jews. You know, you have to understand something. Well, we'll come to it later. So Yerushalayim is a city. Yerushalayim from the beginning is a city that is representative of struggle. And now we understand that bond between Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh and Klal Yisrael. When David HaMelech says, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim, Yishloi Ohavayich. When David HaMelech says that ultimately, if you want to be able to see the state of affairs in the Jewish people. Look at Yerushalayim, or for that matter, if you want to know how Yerushalayim is doing, look at the state of affairs of the Jewish people. There is a connection, because the destiny of Klal Yisrael and the reality of Yerushalayim are one and the same. Both are characterized by ongoing struggles. From the beginning of our peoplehood, before we were even a people, while we were just an Abrahamic family, every single step was filled with incredible struggle. Every single step was filled with incredible pain and incredible difficulty. What's the one city on the face of this earth that has struggle, challenge after challenge after challenge? It's Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. Therefore, we are linked by the soul to Yerushalayim. You could see how we're doing by looking at the city of Yerushalayim, and you could see how Yerushalayim is doing by looking at Klal Yisrael as well. And now we come back, and now we understand, going back to our first question, this is why the rebuilding of Yerushalayim represents Skuli. Remember going back 45 minutes ago when we started, sort of Goren pointed out that interestingly enough, in our liturgy, in our tefillos, in our brachos, we don't speak about the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Instead, what do? We speak about the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. And now we understand why. Because when Yerushalayim is rebuilt, which means what? The struggles of Yerushalayim are coming to an end. Guess what that means? It means that the struggles of Klal Yisrael are coming to an end as well. So when we say, V'Yerushalayim Ircha Berachamim Tashuv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, restore the city, right? Uvnei Osa, build it back up. V'chisei David Mehera L'Sochatach, return Davidic monarchy. What we're saying as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know that when there's tranquility in Yerushalayim, then ultimately there is tranquility in Klal Yisrael. And that's why ultimately, there's a lot going on here tonight. That's why ultimately the destiny of Yerushalayim and the destiny of Klal Yisrael are linked. Yes, we're linked because we share the same experiences. We share the experiences of trials, of tribulations. We share the experiences ultimately of turmoil. We share the experiences of Hashem Yireh. We share the experiences ultimately of constant struggle. And that's why when Yerushalayim is rebuilt, when Yerushalayim is restored, when a sense of serenity descends upon that city, that is the most incredible indication that that same tranquility, that same serenity is going to devolve upon us, upon Klal Yisrael as well. Again, there are many struggles until we get to that point, but it's when we begin to see Yerushalayim being rebuilt, it's an incredible indication of what lies ahead for us. And now we appreciate what happens. So what do we celebrate? You know, very often these type of days, like Yom Yerushalayim and Yom HaAtzmaut, tend to get very politicized. That people tend to make it about politics and hashkafas. And the truth is, I'm a big believer that whether you say Hallel or you don't say Hallel, or you say it with a bracha, you don't say it, we could all have our own shitos and our own feelings about that. But I think one thing is clear, that on June 7th, 1967, the 28th of Iyar, 5727, for the first time in 2,000 years, when the Jews said, L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim, they weren't saying it in some shtetl, right, with a threat of blood libels, pogroms, and rabid anti-Semitism. For the first time in 2,000 years, when the Jews said, L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim, it's an incredible reality that we each have the ability to actualize for ourselves. So what we celebrate on this incredible day is that, yes, number one, first of all, I think that a day like Yom Yerushalayim is also an incredible affirmation for tefillah. Sometimes we daven and we daven for something and we don't get what we want immediately and we think that tefillahs are for naught. And I think what we see is that sometimes it takes a long time for our tefillahs to be answered. Sometimes it even takes 2,000 years. But for 2,000 years, we never stopped davening. V'Yerushalayim Ircha Berachamim Tashuv. And although the bracha is not actualized in its fullest form yet, we don't yet have our Beis HaMikdash, but the bracha is beginning. The bracha is clear right in front of our eyes. The bracha is that should we choose, we could get on an airplane, and we can go, and we could go to the Kotel, and go to the Mekomos HaKadoshim, and we could walk pretty much freely throughout Yerushalayim, something that our grandparents could have never, ever dreamed of. And that's what we have. For the first time in 2,000 years, we see our tefillos are beginning to be answered by the Ribono Shel Olam. But most importantly, from our shir tonight, what also comes out is the following. That if we see Yerushalayim being rebuilt, if we see Yerushalayim is beginning to blossom, if we see that the ruins are starting to be made into beautiful edifices and beautiful buildings, then you know what that says? if Yerushalayim is being redeemed, it also tells us what? That we are being redeemed as well. And I want to give us a little bit of a shkoyach. Because if Yerushalayim is being redeemed, then what else does it say? It means that sometimes we're not as bad as we think. If Yerushalayim is being redeemed, it must mean that as a people, we're doing something right. Good. So ultimately, the beginning, the blossoming of the bracha of Yerushalayim that we celebrate gives us incredible hope for us as a people in terms of what our future holds. If Yerushalayim is being redeemed, then our redemption is not far behind. And it also tells us that there are many wonderful things that we're doing as a people. V'haraya, Yerushalayim is being rebuilt. So we should hope that in the merit of celebrating a Yom Yerushalayim, however we choose to celebrate it, in the merit of coming out on a busy evening to learn about Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, we should be zocha that the bracha of Yerushalayim, the bracha of the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, should continue to materialize and actualize in front of our very eyes. And as we rejoice for the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, we should also continue to rejoice for the beautiful future that is in store for us as a people and as individuals. A good Yom Tov. Thank you.